Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians this morning. We're going to be beginning in just a moment in verse 17. We're going to do a two-parter of walking in wisdom. This will be part one. The Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll pick up in verse 18 and we'll conclude we'll conclude down to verse 21, and then we'll start a series, of course, on family and marriage and the role of the husband and the wife and all of that, which is probably needed since they're sheltering in place, if you know what I mean. So with all that being said, you know, we have learned that as we've covered now, we're talking about the believer's lifestyle or the lifestyle of the believer. We know from chapter 4, verse 1, that Paul tells us we're commanded to walk worthy of our calling. Remember, to walk worthy, again, I like to keep that right before you. It's a picture of a set of scales, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. In other words, equal. It's equal in doctrine. You know the Word of God, you learn the Word of God, and then you apply the Word of God. You're a hearer of God's Word, and then you are a doer of God's Word. That's the only way that we can have a worthy walk. And we've learned from chapter 5, verse 1, that we are now to be imitators of God as dear children. And then we're learning what that means and how we're to do it. Number one, we walk in love. We've covered that. And not only do we walk in love, we walk in the light. And now we've learned, since we are sons of light, now we're getting ready to have the walk of wisdom. And that's one of the main things we need to cover, because we're in a lot of trouble in our nation and around the world, aren't we? Amen? Yeah, but not only that, listen carefully. The world that we are living in right now, let's just narrow it down to our nation. The nation that we are living in right now, and the world too, it is literally, it's falling apart. But listen, don't let that bother you, because we know that God's plan, to God, everything is just falling into place, amen? Not falling apart. We're part of God's plan. We know that heaven is our home. We're sojourners and pilgrims. This place is not our home at all, amen? So with all that being said about the world that we're living in, this world has turned around in just, well, since 2008 in a greater way than we've ever experienced. Now the creature is, instead of worshiping the creator, man is now worshiping the creature. And not only that, we live in a world right now that is unknown to them, and I pray it's known to the believer. This world right this minute is being groomed, as we, Pastor Raul and I were talking Wednesday night before the service, is being groomed like a pedophile would groom to harm a little child. This world that we're living in is being groomed to receive the man of sin. And it's going to be so easy for this world to yield, and they'll welcome him. They will worship him, amen? That's where we are right now in this world. And unknown to the world, they love darkness, and they don't know that they love darkness, and they don't love light at all. So how are we to live in a world such as this? In other words, a world that is overflowing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. A world that is literally calling evil good and good evil and light dark and dark light. How are we to live in a world the way we are right now? A world, loved one, now listen, a world that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? How are we to do that? Paul starts out in chapter 5 of Ephesians there in verse 17, and he says these words. He says, see then. Everyone say that with me. See then. In other words, see to it. Make certain. And this is a command. This is not an option, loved one. What does he tell us to do about walking in wisdom? He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't be a fool, he says, but your walk is a wise walk. And the reason is because the days are evil. Whenever Paul uses that word see, there is an urgency in the tone of his voice. He wants you right now to be on your ears open, in other words. And when he says, see then he returns us to verse 14, where he says, "Wake up, thou who sleepest." In other words, wake up, sleepy Christian. Wake up. It's time to walk in wisdom. It's not time to be a foolish walk in the world that God has created. And so he tells us here that the believer's lifestyle in a world that is messed up as our world is right now, and how we look at this world and we see the times that we're living in are going to grow in greater desperation, loved one. That's why we need to have the Word of God hidden in our hearts. Amen? And the reason I say that is that the devil, if you don't think there isn't a plan right now to divide and conquer, meaning the church, which will never be conquered, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't believe that. He doesn't know how to do anything but lie and deceive and kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want the church back together. Do you understand that? He doesn't want us to be strong. And there are those that are outside right now. You're sitting in your living room. Maybe you'll listen to this message later. You belong to this church. This is where this is your home. But yet you haven't been picking up your Bible. Your prayer time is just lagging and hurting. I'm not condemning you. I'm loving you now. And you know, you just are maybe drifting more toward the world than toward the Lord. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants this church and every church in our nation to become weak and disoriented. Do you understand that? That is the world, the desperate times that we're living in right this minute. So the believer's lifestyle, what a perfect word for the day that we're living in. The believer's lifestyle as in a world right now that we're living in, it says for us to do something. It says for each believer to walk a specific way, and Paul uses that word circumspectly, which literally means that you are to walk carefully. You are to walk with an exactness, if you will. You're to walk accurately in all that you do. One Bible version, the NIV, says this: be very careful then how you live. In other words, how you conduct yourselves in the days of evil. Another translation says, hey, watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Now, so why must we have a careful walk? Well, because we are living right now in the days of evil. The word evil there, we get our word pornographic. Isn't that amazing? We get our word pornographic from the word evil. And we live in a pornographic world. We live in a dirty world, a vile world, a filthy world, don't we? We're not filthy. The world is filthy. No, listen, you know what I love about the Word of God? Is that God just told us how to live, how believers are to live, a command, by the way, again, how we are to live in days of evil. We don't have to guess. It's right there before us. And I want you to notice something. It says days, plural, doesn't it? Days of evil. It doesn't say not an evil month. It doesn't say evil years. It means every stinking day, he says, is a day of evil in our world, in our nation. It is overflowing with evil. So the believer's lifestyle is to be a walk of carefulness, exactness, if you will. You know, if you've ever been down to Mexico on a mission trip, you'll notice that a lot of the homes have high walls around them, those Hadite blocks. And if you'll notice on the top of the Hadite blocks, what do you see? Glass. Remember the little spikes of glass? Matter of fact, you can go in parts of Europe. When I was living in Europe, you can go over there and see people. They protect their homes the same way. So it's to keep people out. So they put all this glass up there. If you're going to get over, you're certainly not going to stand on it. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen a cat walk along a wall when the glass is there? Or ever seen a cat when cats don't like water, evidently, and you see them out and the water, the lawn is very wet, and how they carefully place their paws? Have no one seen that? Thank you. Man, give me a little help here. But how careful they do that. Now, let me bring it to another picture. I want you to picture in your mind right now, you know, you are 5,000 feet up in a mountain. You're on a ledge that's 3 inches wide, and there's your feet on it. Do you think that you would walk very carefully? Do you think that you would place your foot very softly and firmly to make sure it's going to support you? Okay, that's exactly the picture that Paul wants us to see. He says, listen, you have to walk careful, because a careful walk in the days of the evil that we're looking at is a very wise walk. The word there, unwise, literally means a fool. Matter of fact, if you studied it out, that word fool or unwise, it means a person who is stupid. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you what the word means, or a senseless, if you will. So we don't want to be stupid. We don't want to be senseless. Amen? All right. So the Bible tells us, it says, you know, look at it again. See that you walk circumspectly or carefully with exactness, not as fools, but as wise. Have you ever just studied your Bibles out and just, you know, done a word study on the word fool and pulled it up throughout the Word of God? It's amazing, you know, the walk of the fool. You know, listen to this, Proverbs 10:23. To do evil is like sport to a fool. The word sport there means they love playing games with evil. It's a sport to them. They enjoy evil. That's what fools do. It's amazing. It says in Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool does something. He vents all his feelings. You see, a fool always walks by how they feel. They're governed always by their desires in Scripture when you study them out. It says, oh yeah, he says they vent all of their feelings, but a wise man holds those things back. Actually speaking, probably there, if I'm not mistaken, about anger, okay? Now, not only that, the Bible tells the believers to stay away from fools, the unwise, the senseless, or the stupid individual. Now, I'm not calling people stupid. I'm only saying what the Bible says. Is that okay? All right. How about this one then? Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. There's an old Jewish proverb that says this: don't approach a goat from the front, a horse from the back, or a fool from any side. That's a very good word, amen? You remember when Paul starts out the great book of Romans, that great book, a great chapter in chapter 1, talking about the unrighteousness of God, or the unrighteousness of man, the ungodliness of man. And he said, he's talking in Romans 1:21 or 22, and he goes this. He says, professing to be wise. In other words, remember, their foolish hearts were darkened. So they were these people that were foolish in their hearts. They were professing them to be wise about God, about God's creation. And he says, but they profess themselves to be wise. They became fools. There's that word, senseless. Actually, we get our word moron from that verse, by the way. And listen to what they did. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and four-footed animals and the creeping things. And so instead of worshiping God, they digressed and they started worshiping creation, you know, bugs and cockroaches and pieces of wood, you know, stuff like that. Now, the greatest fool in all of the world is the fool who will exchange the wisdom of God, the glory of God, for the wisdom of this world. Think about that. That's the greatest fool. You know why? A fool never considers the consequences. Why is that? Because he has a heart issue. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Think about that. Not in his mind. A fool didn't say it up here. You can, if they say it up here, there's hope for them. But when it gets down to the heart, the inner man, where they're completely convinced, oh, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And you know why he's a fool? Because he acts like he has unlimited knowledge. But his knowledge is not unlimited. Only God's is. Amen? His knowledge is very limited. And God's word goes on and says, and they are corrupt. They do no good. They are abominable unto the Lord. So that's the walk of a fool. He says then again, look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, with accuracy, if you will, not as fools, but as the wise. In other words, that we must have a wise walk, not a foolish walk, in the days of evil. Remember this. I know you know this. Only two people on earth, those in Adam and those in Christ. Amen? There are only two people, either a foolish person or a wise person. We have to be very aware or beware, especially right now, of the wisdom, man, the wisdom of this age. You have to remember that the wisdom of this age is, it's dominated by fallen humanity. Remember what Eve did when she looked at the food there in the garden, you know, and so forth. And when she saw that the tree was desirable to make one what? Wise. We're talking about being wise now. Desirable to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate, and then she gave it to her husband, and he ate. And you know what happened after that. Oh, man, listen. We want to trust only God's wisdom, for it is eternal. It never changes. Amen? Never. The wisdom of the world, it changes every week now, every hour. Just, you know, if you want to see how unbalanced our world is, just look at, they don't know what they're doing. Now, God's wisdom, it says in Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Listen carefully. "How unsearchable are his judgments. And God's ways, oh, they are past finding out." In other words, they're unknowable. They're untraceable. It'd be the word, a picture of that in the Greek would be like, have you ever seen a person walk across the ocean and then try to track their footprints? Never mind. He says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever become his counselor?" Well, of course, no one. However, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "But we have, present tense, the body of Christ, we have the mind of Christ." And we are commanded in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in you." Man, listen. We have that working in our hearts right now. And the measure that we live and walk in the mind of Christ is the measure that we're going to act like our Lord, love others like our Lord, forgive others like our Lord. Amen? That's how we're going to walk in wisdom. Was there ever a day that Jesus didn't walk in wisdom? No. Oh, listen, Jesus is wisdom. Did you know that? 10:30, that he has been made unto us, Jesus has been made unto us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, goes on and on. Listen, wisdom is a person. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:3, "In Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom, all the treasures of knowledge." Man, Jesus knows everything about everything. He's the greatest source of wisdom in the entire universe. Amen? And the wisdom and knowledge of God that Jesus has for his church, listen, they're not hidden from us. They're hidden up for us. Do you understand? So we can have a wise walk. And that's what God wants. See, there are only two kinds of people, or two ways, if you will, to build a life on planet Earth. There are only two ways. There's only two roads that anyone on planet Earth can go down in any generation. You're going to either go down the narrow way, which leads to life, or you're going to go down the broad way, which leads unto destruction. So there are only two ways, though, for anyone to build their lives. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he says, "Therefore, if anyone hears these sayings of mine and doeth them," you hear the word, you do the word. Amen? That's what you call a worthy walk, equal in doctrine, equal in application, okay? "If anyone hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the storms came, and the rain descended, and then floods, and all of that. And it was major that came against the person, the family, the house, whatever. But it did not fall. But he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not," Jesus said, "I will liken him unto a foolish man, a senseless man, an unwise man who built his life, who built his home, who built his marriage, whatever you want to call, and they're called life. And he built it on sand. Man, and here come the storms and the rain and all the rest of it. And that house is as great was its fall. The thing about building a life on sand is this, loved one. Now listen, I'm sorry, my allergies are, I walked in here, I was fine until I got next to the sheep. Oh, did Raul drink out of that Wednesday night? Listen, here's the problem. If we hear God's word, talking about walking in wisdom, we hear the word of God, but if we don't do the word of God, we're in trouble, aren't we? Okay, now listen, there's so many believers right now, they are building their life on sand. Oh, they hear the word of God. They're living off sermons, but they're not doing the word of God. They're not, boy, when we get into the, pardon me, the marriage thing, they're not praying with their kids. They're not opening their Bible with their kids. They're not doing what their role is supposed to be. They're building their life on sand. So 1, 2, 3, 5 years goes by. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. The storms start hitting the marriage or the family or the husband or the wife or the children. But since they built their life on just hearing God's word and not doing God's word, great was the fall of that house. We cannot have a walk of wisdom by just hearing the word of God. Amen? We have to apply that in our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. If you haven't started there, you haven't started at all. It's the fear of the Lord. It says, but fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. You know what's wonderful if you go through the Bible about wisdom? I encourage you to later today, read chapter 8 when you get home. And, well, chapter 2 of Proverbs and chapter 8 is so wonderful about the wisdom of God. You know, it says in Proverbs 8:11, wisdom, for wisdom is better than rubies. Now watch, let me read it. And all the things that you may desire, everything, whatever, add up all of your desires right now. It says, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with wisdom. Think about that. And we have the wisdom of God, amen? We have the word of God. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:16, wisdom is better than strength. In another area, it says wisdom is better than the weapons of war. It says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. He loves to do those things. From his mouth come knowledge, understanding. He stores up sound, healthy wisdom, in other words, for the upright. So, see then that you walk circumspectly, very carefully in this life. Don't be a fool. Don't walk up the walk of fools, but you have the walk of the wise. And because the days are evil, and they are evil today, loved one, he tells us to do something. He says, redeem the time. The word redeem there simply means to buy up. That means it might cost you a little bit, okay? You're to purchase it, buy up. It says, redeem the time. Now, there's only two words in the New Testament in the Greek for the word time. Now, one of them is used as the succession of minutes. In other words, you look at your clock, there's 1 minute gone by, and so forth. But here in verse 16, the translation would read this way. It says you can redeem the season or redeem, buy up the opportunity. In other words, buying up and taking advantage the opportunity that the time that you are living in affords you because the days are evil. You know, Alexander McLaren, great old expositor of the Word of God. I love that guy. I have nearly all of in my library of his old books. Listen to what he said about opportunity. Alexander McLaren says, an ancient Greek statue depicted a man with wings on his feet, a large lock of hair on the front of his head, and no hair at all on the back. And beneath there was an inscription that said, "Who made thee?" And Lippius made me. "Well, what is your name?" "Well, my name is Opportunity." "Well, why do you have wings on your feet?" He says, "Well, that I may fly away swiftly." "Well, why do you have a great forelock on your head?" He says, "Well, that men may seize me when I come." "And well, why are you bald in the back?" "That when I am gone by, none can ever lay hold of me." What did he just say? God's word says this: we are living in the days of evil. We are to buy up and purchase every opportunity we can and not let them pass us by. We are living in a horrible time right now, and this is not a time to lay down. This is not a time to quit, and this is not a time to be defeated. This is the time when we walk on water, amen? This is the time when angels unlock prison door cells and like Peter and he walks out. This is what it's all about. It's living the supernatural life. Oh, listen. No, believers, listen. Every believer is to buy up the opportunity which the evil day creates. It says in Colossians 4:5, it says, "Walk in wisdom," that what we're talking about this morning, "walk in wisdom toward those who are outside," meaning those that are lost. And it says, "redeeming the time." There it is again, buying up or making the most of every opportunity that comes your way. Now listen to me. You know I love you. I do love you. And I miss you. And I miss all those that are not here. I didn't want to get onto that. No, Lord, I won't do that. But listen to me now. We have to stop right now allowing COVID-19, man, to smother you with discouragement. It's got to stop. I mean, we're praying through these things. We just cannot do that. Listen, COVID-19, all the days of evil that we're in, what does that mean? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for Calvary Chapel. Listen, we are ambassadors of Christ. Because of COVID or whatever, we've just locked ourselves away. No. No, listen. Proverbs 11:30, "He who winneth souls is dumb." No, is wise. That is a wise walk. Now listen, here's what we have to do in any evil day. We have to look at evil days the exact way that our Father in heaven looks at them. And he says, the evil days that this church is in, we're not in Paul's evil days, we're in our evil days, amen? He says, God's word says, you look at these days that you're in right now as an opportunity to do something for me, to do something for others. You look for opportunities. You buy up the opportunities. You don't pass them by. Evil days are the times when the sons and daughters of light, they start shining. Do you understand? They start shining. They start loving. They start walking in love. It says, listen, remember what it says. We're living in the evil days. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5, what did it say? Therefore, be ye imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? That's what we're trying to do. And that's what we must do. See, this is a time that we're in right now. This is a time to redeem time, the season, the opportunity. It's not time to waste the season, waste the opportunity that God is giving unto us. And God has made us a steward over the season that we're in, or say, let's say, over time, the time that we're in right now. And he has made us a steward over the most irreplaceable possession in the universe. Time. You can't control time. You can't change time. Well, unless you're part of the daylight savings time. You know, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from, you know. But you can't slow down time. Don't you wish you could sometimes? You can't speed it up. The only thing that we can do, the church can do with the time that we're in, is manage it. Buy up the opportunities and so forth. Listen to me. Life is so full of too lates. It's too late. Oh, what might have been. Oh, what could have been. Oh, what should have been in my life. Listen, The only day you can live is right now. The only day that you can redeem the opportunity and buy it back or buy it up is right now. Yesterday is completely gone, loved one. We have only today. It says redeeming the time, and look at it again, because of, here's the reason. The days are evil. The days are evil. That's why we must walk so carefully. Every day is an evil day in our world that we live in. There's so much wicked and evil stuff on TV today. It's unbelievable. It's horrible, the things that are happening. Well, Bill, you're depressing. I'm not depressed. I'll tell you what I'm not doing is I'm not going to stick my head in the sand. I'm going to walk in the reality, because you know what? We've overcome this world because we're in the one who's overcome the world. This is the time that when we start standing and not falling apart. Does that make sense? I'm not going to let. Don't even try to walk on me. That's what I tell you. Listen, every day I pray for you. I pray Psalm 91 over this church every day and over my family every day. He surely will he deliver me. Deliver Calvary Chapel. All those that call Calvary their home, he'll deliver me. He'll deliver them from the perilous pestilence that walks in darkness. Oh, yeah. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. I believe those words with all of my heart. I hold on to those words. Listen, the days are evil, and we have to walk with exactness and careful. Why? Because we are living right now in enemy territory. This is not our land. 1 John 5:19. It says, for we know what? That the whole world lies in the sway of the evil one. The evil one cradling the world, rocking the world to sleep, as you hear me say so many different times. We have to walk circumspectfully because there is a real war going on. When we get over to chapter 6, we're going to look at the armor of God. And if you're not putting the armor of God on every day, loved one, you're in trouble. It says in Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, not part of it, the whole armor of God. Here's the reason. That you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. We're living in days of evil. You know, it says in what, 2 Timothy 3:13, I believe it is, that evil men and imposters will come worse and worse and worse and worse. We're living in time of the evil day, but we have been, it says in Galatians 1:4, we have been delivered from this present age of evil. That, why? That is the will of God our Father. Amen? See, that, study the Word of God. I'm so sorry. I even took one of those lozenges for my throat, you know, right before. I do that before every service, by the way. Aren't you glad I told you that? Did that help you this morning? Now, therefore, here it comes, verse 17. Therefore, based on everything that we have now discussed from God's holy word, therefore, do not be unwise. Do not be senseless. Don't have a foolish walk. He says, but, here it comes, understand or firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. We are living in sad days, evil days. And evil days require us to understand what the will of God is for our lives. That's so vital. Now, we know that we can go over to Ephesians 2:10, and we know that, you know, we're God's workmanship. He's created us for good works. It means that God has a plan for our life. But when that word, again, unwise, it's translated literally, don't be senseless, don't be stupid, don't be fools. Verse 17, now listen to me, it doesn't say, oh, go out there and fall on your face and go see if you can discover the will of God or seek the will of God. It doesn't say that at all. And I hear believers all the time, I'm just trying to find the will of God. Well, I know where you can find, where? The Bible. What? Come on. It says, understand the will of God. Get a firm grasp upon it for yourself. Now listen to me, it's impossible for a believer to walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk carefully in this world, and understand the will of the Lord without knowing the Word of God. It's just an impossibility, loved one. Listen, there's no greater book in the universe than the Word of God. It is the sure Word of God, the immutable Word of God, the certain Word of God, the eternal Word of God, the God who cannot lie. Do you understand? This should be the most precious possession in your home, never to be neglected. We have that right there with us at all times, the only book on earth that came down from heaven. And listen, for a believer, a spirit-filled believer, washed in the blood, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, for a believer not to study, not to meditate, not to memorize the Word of God, you know, I'm going to say what I heard someone say, so I'm that way I won't get in trouble, get 1,000 emails, is the highest form of stupidity. Let me say it again. To not study or meditate the Bible or memorize your Bible is the highest form of stupidity. And somebody might say, well, how can you say that, Bill? Well, listen to what the Holy Spirit just said. Therefore, do not be senseless. Do not be stupid. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now listen, I know that you know how. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself a living sacrifice. You know that. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Go back and listen to that message if you're unsure. Whenever I covered Ephesians 4:23, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go back and get that into your heart. See, to understand the will of God, you have to nourish yourself on the Word of God, especially a young baby Christian. You've got to get into the Word. Whenever you're born again, man, a babe in Christ should be starving for the Word of God. Amen? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, lay aside, or literally eliminate all malice, eliminate deceit, hypocrisy, evil, all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire, brand new baby Christian, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know it, I know it. A baby Christian's, their diet, they have to eat the right stuff, and their only diet has to be the milk of God's Word. They're growing, they're babies. You can't grow without the Word of God, amen? There's no transformation without God's Word, and there is no growth without the Word of God. But you can't just stay a baby forever. I mean, how many babies do we have at Calvary? There shouldn't be any. You say, Bill, you're getting meaner as you get older. Well, I know it. No. Listen, to understand the will of the Lord, we go from glory to glory to glory, don't we? Into Christ's likeness. Well, you can't stay a baby. You have to grow up. It says in Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, talking about believers, by this time, we don't know what that time frame is, but it says, by this time, the writer, author of Hebrews says, you should be teachers. He says, but you know what? You need someone to teach you again. See, they'd already been taught. Now they have to be retaught. Taught what? The ABCs, or the first principles of the Word of God. He says, and you have come to need milk. You need to be put back on the bottle. And he says, not solid food, for everyone, listen carefully now, there's no exceptions to this, for everyone who partakes or uses only milk, that's the only diet, the milk, he says, you are unskilled in the Word, for he is a baby, he's immature, she's immature. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. In other words, you're growing up, you're mature. For those, now listen, those who by reason of use are literally habitual use studying out the Word of God, listen carefully, have their senses exercised to both discern good and evil. Man, that is so needed. See, milk is vital for every believer. We all need that. But there comes a time when we have to say, I need to grow up. I can't stay on the bottle forever. I mean, here I am at 40 years old. Wouldn't I look funny if I had a bottle right now? Jacob, that's the first time he's laughed in church and ever, you know. It's a joke, guys. Are you guys listening to me? Are y'all with me this morning? Do I need to stop? You ready to go home or can I finish? All right, let's finish. Now, we're living in the last days, but we're also living in evil days. Now, here's what we need to do. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will, or what is the will of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord? Now, let's make it very easy. Let's just do a little something very quickly, if you don't mind. In 4:1, here's the will of God. That ye walk worthy of your calling. Is that the will of God? Okay, now, you just learned. Now, go understand what that means. It means to walk worthy. It means equal in doctrine, equal in application. Remember, that's why I do that over and over and over. We learn by repetition. Go down to 5:2. It's the will of God for you to walk in love. Amen? Look at 5:8. It's the will of God for you to walk in light. Look at verse 15. It's the will of God for you to walk circumspectly or carefully in this life. Here's another one that's the will of God for your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where the Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Say that with me. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's the will of God. It didn't say give thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. That's how you're understanding what the will of God is. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God for your life, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Let me give you this command here. And listen to this in 1 Corinthians 14:1, a great scripture about the spiritual gifts. It says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Did you know that's a command? The word pursue, it says pursue love. In the Greek, that is a forceful, man. It's urgency. It means to run after love as hard as you can with a deep intensity. It's a command. Pursue the agape of God. Let it overflow in your life. And then he gives another one. Look at you're not there. The other command, desire, that's zelo. That means, you know, zealot or to zeal. It means to fire, to be on fire. It means to boil over, okay? It means desire, zelo. It says spiritual gifts. Isn't that amazing? We are commanded to boil over, to run, to go with all of our heart, to be on fire for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And you is plural in the Greek, meaning all the church, just not one person. What does prophecy do? It brings edification, comfort, and exhortation. Well, do you need that? I need that. Okay, how many of you this week, I love you, but have you obeyed that command? Have you said, you know, I am pursuing it. I'm on fire. We're going to talk about the one command next Sunday that everybody breaks from Ephesians 5:18. Now listen, that word is so important, loved one. We need to never be unwise, but we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And if we keep this verse in context, we know that it has to do about redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities that God has afforded us in the days of evil, loved one. And what is that? What are we to do? What's in the world around us? We're to do good. It says in Galatians 6:10, therefore as we have opportunity, there it is, that season, it says, let us do good to all, everybody, all people, especially to the household of God. So, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now listen to me. We, the believer, we, the church, we are the solution to evil days. Did you know that? We're the solution. Listen, turn quickly. I'm just about, just turning your Bibles with me to Romans. Romans 12. And look with me. Go down to, see, Romans chapter 12. And look with me, please, at verse 9. Verse 9 of Romans 12. Watch what it says now. And I can't cover all these verses, but just look at it for a moment. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. That love there is agape. Agape has no hidden motive except to love everyone regardless of whoever they are. It says, let this kind of love, the agape of God, the supernatural love of God, be without hypocrisy, meaning a sincere love, not a pretend love, okay? Abhor what? Now, that's what we're talking about, the evil days. Abhor what is evil. It means to hate. Hate evil. Cling to what is good or be cemented to what is good. So this love that we have that's shed abroad in our hearts, loved one, we're God's solution to the evil days. It says this, that love that we have right now hates some evil. No, it doesn't say that. That we practice tolerance with that kind of evil? Absolutely not. We, the church, the believer, we have no peaceful coexistence with evil at all. We live in an evil world and evil days, and we don't want to be caught off guard. We want to always cling to what is good, loved one. No, evil is the enemy of God. Evil is the enemy of love. Evil is the enemy of all that is good. And whatever is evil, and we are living in evil days, we are to hate it. Not people, but hate the evil that's being done. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and the evil way. 3 John in verse 11 says, John writes, oh, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Now drop down in Romans to verse 17. Repay no one what? Evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The evil that's in this world, the evil day. We don't go and repay it. We do something different. Now, it says in Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will recompense evil. He says, here's what he says now. Wait on the Lord. You just wait on the Lord, and it says, he will save you. Now look at verse 20 of Romans 12. You see that word, therefore? Okay, it just told us what we need to do in the days of evil. And now that word, therefore, here comes our opportunities that we can buy up in the evil day. Look at it. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, let him starve to death. Feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. Why? For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now look at it. Here it comes. We're God's solution to the evil day that we're living in. And there's a lot more evil out here right now than the COVID virus. He says, do not be overcome by evil. Don't be conquered by evil. But overcome or conquer evil. How? Oh my, there we are with good. What does that mean? We are redeeming the time. We're buying up all the opportunities that God is giving us in the evil day. What do we do with the opportunity? We do good because we are God's solution to this evil world that we live in. Oh man, I say, Lord, we're going to conquer evil with good. That means that good is only our only weapon. It means if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, how are we going to fight? We're going to fight like Jesus. It says, what does it say about the Lord, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good? Talking about our Lord, doing good, for God was with him. And he was delivering what? All those who were oppressed by the devil. Loved one, that's what we're to do. We're to walk as Jesus now, as he walked in this world. That's it. We're the body of Christ. Don't waste opportunities. Don't waste our opportunities because now we understand the will of God. in evil days. One more scripture. 1 Peter 2:15. You want to know the will of God for you? Here it is. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, I love that, by doing good, you may put to silence, the word silence means muzzle, that you may put to silence the ignorance, not wise men, listen now, the ignorance of foolish men. The ones that are having a foolish walk, a senseless walk, a stupid walk, who are going down the road of destruction and they don't know they're going down that. The word muzzle there literally means that our actions should so stun the people that are foolish in this world, just shake them up, that they would just, they're speechless. They can't even respond when they see what we do, how we do things in the days of evil. How we buy up and redeem the opportunities that God is giving unto us. We cannot shelter our minds and hearts in place, loved one. There are many things that God wants us to do, but we have to get our minds back on the Lord and off of what's happening. Not deny it, not being reckless, not walking in presumptuous sin, but walking in the light, and walking in His power, and walking in the Spirit. That is what is needed. How did God, and it's time to go home for you, how did he start overcoming the evil in this world? Very easy. Very hard. Very incredible. Here it is. For God so loved the world, the evil. He didn't love the evil in the world. All the pain. No, it says, for God so loved the world, he did something. He says, he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The word believe is what sets John 3:16 on fire. So maybe right now you're home and you're listening or you're across the states in some other state or California and wherever you might be. If you don't know Christ, man, you better run to him now. Run to him. And I mean that with all my heart. You have to run to him right now. And just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Save me. Save me right now. In Jesus' name. He who wins souls is wise. Father, I pray over your sheep. I pray right now a supernatural word, God, that only you can bring. Remove discouragement. Remove fear. Oh God, remove the unknown, the things that are driving them crazy, that have them constantly upset. Whatever it is, you know, and I don't, but Lord, remove it supernaturally right now. Fill them with a breath of fresh air. Put a spring in their step. Put a joyous smile upon their face. Oh God, lift them up. Be the lifter of their head right now. For we're redeeming the time in the evil day. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says,